Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Good morning, church. I like this church. I like this church family. I like being in this church family here. We have walked through a hard week this week in our health, from our kids that have all been sick for multiple days, really all week. On Tuesday night, Alyssa took Ronnie to the hospital around midnight, and she had 105 degree temperature for a couple days that we were trying to get down through ice baths and showers and stuff like that. We were pumped when we got it down to 101. Like, that's a breakthrough. That was a win. And so she got on antibiotic and is getting back in the game. Then on Friday, takes all of the kids to the doctor because it kind of ran through everybody at that point. I had been run down a little bit. Alyssa would have these headaches that would be so intense that she just didn't know what to do other than just cry. Anybody ever been there? And maybe not even a headache, just life. I don't know what to do with my life, so I'm just going to cry. It was just hard and tough. And And then this past week, my grandfather passed away. And it's one of those that he was an awesome man, lived a good long life, 90 years, loved Jesus, served in this church, and it's sad to see him pass, but we are full of gratitude that he knew the Lord and that he's in heaven. And then last night, we get news that Alyssa's aunt in Kansas City passed away. And there was just one after another of things that have happened. Why do they all happen at once? Would like to have them spaced out a little bit, or just have them happen and you can just move forward and maybe have a good rest of the year. But it seems like they just kind of stack. And through this, there's been a church family that's really shined. And I'm grateful for our church family, for people that have just shown up with food and with phone calls, lots of cards and encouragement. Got a text last week after we had declared this prayer and fasting, like we are gonna go for it, like we're gonna go for this prayer and fasting. For somebody to say, man, praying for you and for your family because you just declared war. And the enemy doesn't always like that. And you ever wake up and you're like, why are there like missiles flying over my head? I don't even know what happened. And you wake up in a battle. And just feel like this week has been that. In this battle that has been going on. And yet we needed our church family this week. You don't want to fight alone. And I'm glad that we have a church family that we can fight alongside. People like Kathy Psalms. Kathy brought over a mess of food last night. And she just texts me. She goes, is now a good time for me to bring over food? Kurt, the answer is always yes, right? It's always the right time to bring over food, especially whenever it's chicken and noodles. And yes, now is the time. Alyssa and I were standing in the kitchen after this week. We were standing in the kitchen last night, and she said, I like people that just do it. And she was talking about you, Kathy. Like, I'm glad that she didn't ask me, is there anything you need? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we need. We need 4 loads of laundry done. We need our house cleaned. We need, like, I need for my grandpa to not be dead, right? I need my aunt to be alive. I need dinner on the table. You know what? Let me tell you all the things that I need. Instead, she didn't ask what we need. She says, I'll be there, and is now a good time. To where we said, we just want to be the just do it people, or a just do it church. Sometimes whenever you're going through something hard, somebody in a good gesture will put even more on you, like they'll assign you homework. You let me know if you need anything. y'all know what I'm talking about? And we feel like, hey, that's a good move. Like I offered, you didn't take me up on it. Alyssa just said this. She goes, I just felt so good that I wasn't put in an awkward situation like, yes, I need all of these things. She was just able to receive. Thank you, Kathy. LD and Betty, you guys brought over multiple things of food. Those blueberry muffins were like kissed by the gods, no doubt. Oh my goodness, y'all. I shouldn't talk about chicken and noodles and blueberry muffins right before a fast because it just provokes these hunger. But I do need to get home and finish all this food before Monday morning. The thing about it is to be a just do it group or to be a just do it church is a group of people that don't ask, they just do. And they just come in and think, man, what is it that I would need in this time? What is it that I would maybe want? And then do that and just come alongside. And so I just want to thank our church family that it's been a bummer of a week. And perhaps it's all coincidence. Or perhaps there's an engagement in some spiritual warfare that we really want to button it up. And we really want to get an edge on our spirit and really focus in that as we're pushing back darkness, don't believe that it's going to be content with being pushed back, that it might push back on you as you engage in this prayer and fasting season over these next 10 days. Get ready. Be ready. Live ready. Because the enemy may want to take a couple swings, and he may want to take a couple swings at your kids, or your marriage, or frustration in conversation, or just to throw a little smart bomb right in the conversation where someone gets offended and frustrated, and you're like, those 10 days were terrible, and I did it with no food. Ugh! I just lived hangry the whole time. But instead saying, I know what's going on, and so I'm going to move in the opposite spirit, and I'm going to move with peace and joy and patience. Just watch me win this battle. And for us to be really smart as we go into a strategic warfare that we want to engage in. Grab your Bibles with me. We're going to go to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to see that there might have been some spiritual warfare going on as it came to prayer and fasting. In Mark chapter 9, and I'll have these scriptures up here for you, starting in verse 14. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. This is right after Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is up there. Moses comes. Elijah makes an appearance. Peter, James, and John, like this is this massive moment where Jesus transfigures and he reveals himself as God. He now walks down this mountain and people are blown away by this man. They're running to him. What are you arguing about with them? He asks. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. This is long before the days of parents hopping on WebMD or Google and figuring out that you can cut onions and put them in the bottom of your socks. And people were telling me all kinds of things this week. Cut potatoes and put them in the bottom of your socks. Anybody heard this? Like, cut up your lunch and put it in your socks, and you should be fine the rest of the week. This was the time before we could kind of hack through all of these things or just get some Vicks Vapor Rub. Here is a dad who is bringing his boy with some desperation that nobody else can fix, that nobody else has solutions to. There's a little bit of some desperation that's happening here. I also wonder if this boy that perhaps has some resemblance with his father, maybe no longer has resemblance with his father because these evil spirits would throw the boy into fires. He would have seizures and convulse. He would shift shape. His face, his teeth would become pointed. There would be these demonic oppression things that would happen. And this should be my boy that looks just like me, and yet he is so far from me, as this man begins to explain his dilemma before Jesus. Anybody ever been in such a desperate place, maybe as a parent, maybe in a marriage, maybe as you're looking at your future, that you are so desperate that unless Jesus does something, this thing is not going to work? Anybody? So desperate. I'm not slick enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't really figure this one out. Unless you bring a healing here, we're looking at death. Unless you bring restoration here, we're looking at a divorce. Unless you bring restoration and healing here, unless you provide vision, then I don't know where to go. Unless you give me some clarity, because I'm all out. There's a ton of fog without any clarity. You need a breakthrough moment. And here's this father who is aching for his child. He brings him before Jesus, and I've brought him here before you, and I'm not getting any answers. We need a breakthrough here. In verse 19, Jesus goes on. He says, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. It seems like it's been this long time. And for the father, he's walked through this hardship with his son, who's a young man, who's, you know, a young boy, but all the way through his childhood. And no doubt his heart is just aching. For me, parenting has exposed so much of a deeper and greater desperation faith than I've ever needed before. So when Judah gets these high fevers last night, he's 103.5 last night. And when he gets these fevers, he has fever dreams or night terrors that he has. He'll hear these sounds like whoom, 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 all night. Or it'll sound like wind is blowing in. I don't know if you've ever had dreams like that, but it's wild and freaky. He'll sit up and he'll be just talking loud, and it's hard to get him to pull out of it, and crying and yelling, and he's shaking. And so I'll have to get up with him, and I'll walk him around, and I'm talking with him, and he's still in it. Like he's up and he's around and he's walking, but he's still like, no, and they're coming to get me, and this is happening. And he'll like explain the whole scene that's going on in these terrors. And the other night I had to put him in the shower, turn the shower on, and he's still in it, in this dream, before finally kind of breaks out and he starts talking, and then we're back. And then we're talking normal. Anytime he gets a fever, he just knows. I mean, just as the setting of the sun and the rising of the same, he knows that this dream is coming. So usually it's me sleeping with him, or Alyssa will be in there. So last night, it's Jude and I on the couch. And then it moved to the bed, and we played musical beds. And Alyssa was in the bed with the girls, and I'm with him in this moment. And he sits up multiple times, just sits straight up. And so immediately I'm up, and I'm with him, and I'm like, "Okay, hey, how you doing? You good?" Yeah. And he's kind of like talking a little bit weird, but he's kind of still with me. None of those big freak-out moments. But he had one of these on Thursday night. So much so that, I mean, I knew that we were not just dealing with a dream or with a fever. This was demonic. This was the enemy coming in to wipe out my son. And he's putting these thoughts, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I can't handle it. I don't want to do this." all this sort of stuff to where I'm speaking, not to my son, but there's something going on behind my son. There's something behind the eyes. There's something behind that voice. I said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come off of him in Jesus' name. Satan, we rebuke you off of his life. Holy Spirit, we pray a baptism of fire to come upon him. Holy Spirit, come and set him free. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you just bathe him right now. By the power of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over him to set him free and to liberate him. We went to this desperate prayer mode where we were warring over him, and Alyssa's there. Together, we're like fighting over our son and pushing back darkness that wants to attack a vulnerable boy even while he's asleep. What a wussy move, Satan. Picking on a kid while he's asleep. That's your big move. What a sucker punch. And man, did we want to fight back, and we wanted to take a swing, and we were engaging in some warfare, and I felt like this dad that's got his boy that's walking before Jesus saying, Jesus, we've tried it all, man. Like, we need a breakthrough here. Is this going to be the lifestyle? Is this like what it's always going to be like? Or will you set him free? Parenting, man, has forced me into deeper waves of desperate faith. Like, God, I need you. Any parents out there, you're like, Jesus, I would love to have a restored relationship with my kid. And aside from you, I'm not smart enough. Obviously, my birthday card didn't work. I thought that would be a really good present. I invited him to dinner. I even paid for the meal. What is it going to be? Like, they're just not moving their heart. Aside from God coming in, we need some breakthroughs. And how do we stay in the game when it seems like it's not working? Verse 22. It goes on and says that it often throws him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. I love Jesus' response. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Jesus' response is sure. It is confident. It is unwavering. It is locked in, and it almost smirks. If I can? Are you sure? What? If I can do this? I almost feel like Aladdin before the genie. And Aladdin is like, I bet you can't even get us out of here. And he goes, woo-hoo-hoo, did you come to the right spot? And he puts on a show, right? He does the whole Aladdin thing, or the whole genie thing. And Jesus is almost like, if I can, if you can just come and believe, all things are possible to you. Verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You see, this dad just got real, I believe, with Jesus. And he goes, look, I believe. Obviously, I believe. I came. I'm here. I'm here again. I showed up. I came to you. I believe that you can. I just don't know if you will. I believe that you can do all things, man. That's why I came to God. I believe that you can restore my marriage, but it's just not looking good, and I don't know if you really will change their heart or mine. I do believe that you can restore with my kids. I do believe that you can give me a vision for my future, but man, why am I walking around clueless? I do believe in you and all these things, but I just don't know if you will do all of these things. And so I believe, but come on, man, help me in my unbelief. I don't know about you, but I like a dad that is just real honest, that he comes with Jesus. And here's the thing about Jesus, is Jesus is cool with it. Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Many times we see in Scripture where Jesus honors big faith. He's like, man, in all of Jerusalem, I've never seen faith like this. Or because of your faith, you have been made well. And this guy's like, I don't know, man. And Jesus is like, cool. I got you. I'm with you in it. In church, if you have felt like I've been in the game and I am just losing heart and I'm losing faith and, man, I just don't know anymore, that does not make Jesus nervous. He's not biting his nails. He's not wringing his hands. He's not nervous in heaven. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's in it with you. And our response should just be, but Jesus, just help me. Help me walk through this when I don't fully even believe, when I'm not fully even locked in all of the way. He goes on here in verse 25. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. There's a this kind that Jesus points to. It's more than the others. It's different than the others. This particular kind. Let's speak about this particular one. Jesus, we've done this before, and it kind of amazed us. Why couldn't we have done this one? He goes, but this kind is a little bit of a different deal that's happening. Jesus speaks to the this kind. He says some breakthroughs only happen by some radical behaviors, by some prayer and by some fasting. And I don't know if you've ever considered prayer and fasting for your breakthroughs. But church family, tomorrow, as we begin this 10-day Daniel fast, I want you to come in with some faith that says, I want breakthroughs. And there is a this kind, and you bring your this kind before the Lord. And this kind might be a marriage that you've been in for 2 decades that just doesn't feel like it's getting anywhere. It might be a sickness or a disease, and doctors are saying that it is not looking good. And aside from a healing from God, and you're saying, God, I'm coming in, and this kind has to come through prayer and fasting. I'm believing that, God, you'll meet me here as I make a holy desperation and a consecration and a setting apart of myself, and I'm pursuing you with prayer and fasting. God, I'm believing for a breakthrough in this move. We see throughout history that there's been these this kind moments that have called for prayer and fasting. There's the time where the this kind was that a nation needed a breakthrough. This is Joel chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. We find here that there's a call for a fast to declare a dedication to show God that we mean business in turning to the Lord. This is in Joel chapter 2 verse 12. That this is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is still time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. There is a moment where there's an uptick in the spirit, and it's no longer just about good church attendance. And just being a Christian isn't about just that I attend church and I at least come twice or maybe even thrice a month, or I even send my kids to VBS in the summer. No, no, no. It is engagement, it is warfare, it is taking a swing from the enemy, and it's swinging back, it's pushing back darkness, it's saying, I'm willing to engage, I'm going to go for this thing. We're going to go for it, we're calling a prayer, we're calling a fast. There is a this kind in Nehemiah chapter 1, where something needed to be changed, and so they prayed for a fast for reformation of their nation. It says, they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. There was a moment that I needed a breakthrough. Church, I want you to stir up some desperation inside of you to say, gosh, I need this breakthrough. Jesus, I need it. And if life is, it's all good in the hood, man, awesome. That's awesome. But probably for 99% of the rest of us, there are some things where we've got to see God. We've got to see a breakthrough. We've got to see God move. And God responds. The eyes of the Lord are ranging to and fro throughout the earth, seeking a heart that's locked in on him, that he would show himself strong on their behalf. Maybe it's leading your family into this and saying, hey, family, tonight we're going to fast. And we're just going to fast this meal. We're not doing dinner, but we're going to gather around the table. We're going to open up the scriptures, and we're just going to pray blessing over our family. We're going to get there, family. Come on, we're going to go for this. There's a this kind of a breakthrough that our family needs. Maybe it's just in unity that we would actually enjoy one another. Maybe it's bringing joy back into the home. Maybe it's just wanting to keep God as the preeminent one in our family. Maybe it's a breakthrough in our finances or in our jobs or clarity on what next steps are. I don't know what they are, but God, I'm bringing this and I'm fasting and praying for a breakthrough that would happen. How about this? There was a this kind. There was a pending judgment that was about to fall. And Jonah, we see this fast. Jonah 3, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. It's the mourning garments. Let's just cry out to the Lord for a breakthrough. There's a this kind is when we need a direction and determination on hearing next steps from the Lord or where to go or what to do. This is Acts 13, 2. As they were ministering to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them." He gave some good, clear directions on next steps. Or how about this? How about fasting is just a part of being the bride, of just having a relationship with the groom. In Luke 2, verse 39, "And there was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day, fasting and praying." Just part of her lifestyle, just to be one that spends in fasting and prayer. There was a this time that happened in America's history where our president, President Abraham Lincoln, stood before a nation that had massive devastation. We had a civil war going on in-house. We were tearing ourselves apart from the inside. This kind was a moment that needed a breakthrough from God. In America's history, we needed God to step foot into the timeline of American history and do something. And our president stands up and he calls a national day of fasting and prayer. Listen to these words by our president. "By the President of the United States of America, a presidential proclamation for a national day of fasting and prayer. A proclamation for a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer." Humiliation was a word they would also use just as far as humility before the Lord, being humble before God. It says this, "Whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by a resolution requested the President designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." Can you imagine the President of the United States of America standing up today and saying this? Me neither. This is like you get impeached for speech like this. And then he begins to speak to the times. Here's the this kind that they're walking through. "And insomuch as we know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land? May we be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our own presumptuous sins to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserves us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray that the God who made us. It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with this request, and fully concurring in the views of the Senate, I do, by this proclamation, designate and set apart Thursday, the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to untie at their several places of public worship and their respective homes, in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then humbly, in the hope authorized by the divine teachings, that the united cry of a nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings, no less than the pardon of our national sins and restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition and unity and peace. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed. Woo! That is legit. That is good. That is a man leading through some really hard times. And I want to tell you, lead right now your family with prayer and fasting through this time. Lead them. Let's lead them. Hey, we're gonna do this. We're going to go 10 days. We're going to go all in. We're going to go this Daniel fast. Let's go. We're going to do this. If you're leading some young kids, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do one meal a day, okay? We're going to push back these normal comforts, and we're going to pursue God, and we're going to not just skip lunch and keep doing work. Nope, I'm going to pause. I'm going to pray during my lunchtime. I'm going to pray during my dinner time. I'm going to seek the face of God. More than I want the pizza, I want the presence. I want him. And more than eating tacos tonight, kids, tacos can do some things for you. They can do a lot of weird things for you, too. But more than tacos, we want to get a hold of Jesus because we need a breakthrough. And we're going to push things off. Declare war. I'll just say be a man of war. Declare war. Let's figure it out. Let's go after it. Let's push back. Why sit we here until we die? Let's not just keep living the same life. Don't be in the same spot that you were last year and say, well, here I am again this next year, and right here is where you'll be in 2024. No. I'm breaking through, baby. I'm moving on. I am gaining ground in my heart. I'm gaining ground in my relationship with Jesus. I am falling in love with this man of God. I am going deeper. I am gaining ground in my marriage. Man, my heart's coming alive again. There is a thrill and a romance that is awakening here. I am turning my heart toward home. There is a turning where I want to be with my kids and grandkids. I don't know what it is that you need that breakthrough. It is a sickness or a disease that you need. God, I need a healing. I need a supernatural breakthrough right now. Maybe there's some mentals that are going on. God, I just need to get super healthy. Man, I really want strong mental health where I'm locked in. I need a breakthrough here. Jesus, I can't keep living this way for the next year. And he says, man, I pay attention to prayer and fasting. It's just laden all throughout the scripture. And there's a this kind that we want to bring before the Lord. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be here at 6 a.m. for the next 10 days from 6 to 7 for an hour. If you're able to join us, get here. If you're not, then just know at 6 o'clock, Join us when you're in your car or when you're at work or when you're in your kitchen, wherever you are. Join us in prayer at 6 a.m. from 6 to 7. We're going to have a prayer focus. We're going to have a scripture for each day. We're going to be going after some things. We're going to be emailing these out to the church family. If you can't make it, you'll be able to still join us with this prayer focus time. That was good. I'm tired. This is the right time. There's a time in Fairmount Friends history where we need a breakthrough. We need to go to the next level. We need to press through some things. I'm just guessing there's probably some things in your home that you could bust through, that you could probably pray through, that you could fast through, and just see if God would respond. If you're wondering, what can I eat? What can't I eat? We have these lists. They're on this table here in the back. Grab them on the way out. It's the exact same list that we printed for you last week. And you actually can do a lot of fun things with it. There's a lot of maybe new options that you can eat. It's basically pushing off the meats and the sweets and the other treats and the breads. And it's going after pretty much fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, things like that. But rather than complaining about what I can't have, let's just really focus on that I can get a whole lot of Jesus. Let's not make this a 10-day complaint fest. Let's make this a 10-day going hard after the face of God moment. And just see if you can minimize the complaining and maximize the presence. And just see if that might be a good trade-off for you these next 10 days. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray a blessing upon this church family. God, I ask you that these 10 days would be some sweet, powerful 10 days where you engage your people, where you meet with us. Father, I pray that we would have like this iron in our spirit, like President Lincoln, that he would declare prayer and fasting for a nation to break through. And we just declare prayer and fasting to break through in your family, to break through in your heart, to break through in your relationship with the Lord. And let's take up this weapon to fight, the weapon of prayer and fasting. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.